You know, we've been doing a lot of traveling lately, my wife and I, and what we've been doing is we've been going from different churches and preaching God's word lately. And, it was a couple weeks ago, my wife said to me, could you please get down that travel pillow? And it's a nice curved pillow, and of course, it was on the top shelf on top of a box. So I go over, and I get on my tiptoes, and I grab this pillow, and I reach, and I pull, and as I pull, a couple things come falling down on top of me. So I take cover, and I'm quick to do that. Right about that time, I think I'm safe. I look up, and boom, right in the face, I get hit hard. And I look, and my wife, she wasn't trying real hard, but she was trying not to laugh a little bit. And then when she realized I was fine, it was full on laughter. But I said to her, I said, what was that? What just hit me in the face? And then she really just lost it. She looked down and pointed. It was the board game of life that literally just hit me in the face. I don't know what you're going through or what's happening here in Maysville, but I'm just curious. Any of you feel like you've been hit in the face by life lately? If you need to, ask your spouse. I bet they'll hit you with the board game of life on purpose. Maybe not. But, you know, it seems like when we go through those storms, no matter what, if it's this pandemic or if it's through other life challenges, the question we never ask in the middle of the storm, but perhaps we should, is how will God get the glory? So today we're going to kind of talk about that. If you would, please open your Bibles to Luke 8, verses 22 through 25. I'm going to go ahead and read. And when you find your place, if you're able, you don't have to, but if you're able, out of reverence for God's word, I always ask that we stand. And I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. One day, he and his disciples got into a boat, and he told them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake. They were being swamped and were in danger. They came and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to die." Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, so they ceased. And there was calm, and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, asking one another, "Who is this? He commands even the wind and the waves, and they obey him." Thank you all. You may be seated. Well, if you're like me, you've read this story many times and perhaps heard a sermon or two on it. But lately, this has had a special meaning for me. And as I go through and start to break this down, I look at number one, and that is Jesus' commands must be carried out. We see in the red there, those are his words. He says, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." This wasn't a suggestion or "Hey, what do you guys think?" This was a command, and immediately following, you see that they took action, so they set out. But let's back up. Let's go to the beginning part of this, verse 22. One day, he and his disciples got into the boat. If you're taking notes, write this one down. If Christ sends his disciples, he goes with them. If Christ sends his disciples, he goes with them. This was true in the Old Testament, right? God was with Joseph. He was with Moses. He was with Joshua. He was with David. Even as that little shepherd boy slung that stone and struck the Philistine on the head. It's true in the New Testament. It's true here in this story. It was true with those disciples on the road to Emmaus. It was true with Peter when he was imprisoned and then set free. And it was true in Acts 2 as the Holy Spirit was given freely to live within each and every believer to guide and lead and direct. So, what can we learn from this? Well, Number one on your application, be willing and to go and to serve as commanded. Be willing to go and to serve as commanded. So we know Christ goes with those that he sends. He's with you. You're not alone. We know that here. But do we trust it? Let me put it like this. The opposite of being willing to go and to serve is this: to be unwilling to go and not serve as called. Now, not everybody has the same calling in life. God has planted you in certain areas at certain times in your life for a specific reason. But we are to be the light, amen? We are to use the giftings that God has bestowed upon us for his glory. And we are to discern what it is that God has called you to do in your life. For this life is not for your glory, but for his. A person can be a believer, but not a follower. Let me explain that. It's kind of a loaded statement. You can know Jesus Christ is real. You can know in your mind that he is Lord, but you can purposely choose not to do what he says and commands in his word. Okay? There is a difference. Some follow and make his word their guide. Let me explain. This is a bottle of water. At least that's what it says. It says purified water right here. And I've had previous experience with water bottles like this. Perhaps you have too. And you've drank water before and you know what it's like. But does knowing that this is water, because it says this, and does having previous experience that this is water, believing it's water, does this make me less thirsty? What do I have to do if I want to be less thirsty? Yes, go ahead. I have to take a drink, right? Good job. I have to take a drink. See, faith is belief with action. Faith is belief with action. In James 2:19, it's commonly quoted. It says, "You believe God is one, good. Even the demons believe and shudder." Demons know that Jesus is king. They know he is Lord. They even have an emotional response. They physically shudder at the mention of his name. But do they follow? Do they obey his commands? Do they live their life to honor and glorify him? Do they build a relationship with him? No. Here you will see these disciples in close relationship with God, with the Lord, with our Savior, Jesus. And even they struggle with belief. Number two, expect the storms to come. Don't be surprised. They're coming. Expect the storms to come. Verse 23, "And as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake, and they were being swamped and were in danger. They came and woke him up, saying, 'Master, Master, we're going to die.' Came suddenly." Depending upon your Bible, it is called a fierce windstorm or a squall or a fierce gale. This was not a rainstorm. I'll get to that in a second. This was probably an eastern winter windstorm blowing off the Golan Heights volcanic plates. Those volcanic plates are about 40 miles long and about 16 miles wide. The wind comes out of there fierce and quick. See, these were seasoned fishermen, his disciples. They would have known the water. They would have known to be able to identify as rain clouds start to develop. There's warning, right? You can start to take some precaution. They would have found a safe harbor to wait it out. But a windstorm, there are no warning signs. It comes quick. And it catches you off guard. And suddenly, even the seasoned fishermen are terrified. And they come to Jesus with that in mind. But let's back up. Let's ask this question. Why did the storm occur in the first place? Well, it doesn't tell us. Okay? It doesn't tell us. There are some that have two theories. Some theorize that the enemy did not want Jesus' plans to come true. He didn't want Jesus to get to the other side. I mean, that makes sense. Because if you read on, the first thing Jesus does is he drives out a legion of demons, 200 plus demons who go out of a person. There's the other side of it where people say, well, perhaps God used this as an opportunity to show Jesus' power. And that's quite possible. We don't know. Either way, we can know to expect the storm. And that through it all, we can trust in this awesome and amazing God. Amen? Something to take note of is that Jesus was asleep in the storm. I'm a hard sleeper. I try to be purposefully, but my three children wake me a lot at all hours of the night. Well, a storm didn't wake up Jesus. I would think maybe the rain would do it. Maybe he was covered. I don't know. Or not the rain, excuse me, the wind hitting him in the face. But nothing fazed him. It's almost as if he was in control the entire time. He wasn't worried. And when you follow Jesus' commands, we expect the trials, we expect the opposition. We even know that there'll be moments when we're scared. But here's the beautiful part that we see from the disciples. When you're scared and you're terrified and you don't know what's going to happen next, you can always come to Jesus. Bring those fears, bring those doubts to Jesus. Because number three, Jesus is all powerful. Then when he got up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, so they ceased. And there was calm, and he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, asking one another, "Who then is this? He commands even the wind and the waves, and they obey him." Wow. I don't know about you. There's no power in my words. I try talking to my six-year-old son, and it's like I have to keep saying it over and over again. Luca, Luca, Luca. By the ninth Luca, he might turn around. Well, here he rebukes the wind and the waves and they stop. Now, the Greek word here is epitomao, which means to rebuke, denounce, or command. So Jesus commands the wind and the waves. It's power over nature. Simply by speaking, nature obeys. We see this one other time early in Scripture, in Genesis 1. The Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Jesus is all powerful. He is fully man and fully God. And you see his nature on display here in this difficult situation. About you? What about your life? What difficult situation are you going through right now? And are you trying to limit God's power by doing it on your own? Or will you hand over these burdens and these struggles and these fears, which are not perfect creations from God, and give them over to him and allow him to do a work through you and through your life?
At some point, if it hasn't happened to you already, I pray that you will learn not only to believe these things, but to rely upon these truths and to faithfully act and to live with great purpose in life. Application number 2. Trust in the Lord to lead, guide, and instruct.
You know, initially, instead of instruct, I said help. I like that word, help. But then I got thinking, we all have different ideas of what help is. So often, I have my plans, and I say, hey, God, help me do this. We need this, we need this. That word instruct is actually from Psalm 25. And in Psalm 25, they talk about this. To instruct is to take teaching, right? To apply it to your life, to allow Jesus to impact our life.
I don't know about you. For so long in my life, I struggled. I asked Jesus to come and fit around me and what I was doing. I was comfortable. I was a good person. I wasn't anything bad. But I was all about me. And then I realized that's not what the Bible asks us at all. It asks us to fit our life around Him, to serve Him, to have a relationship with Him. But I had bought into the world. There are lots of reasons to live this world. For me, the very first thing I did as an adult was I bought a nice house. And I got a good job. I thought that was it. And even now as a dad, I realize the temptation to make my life about saving and trying to send my kids to college and do all these great things for my kids. Look, let's be real for a second. We have to keep the main thing the main thing. We live and exist to bring God glory. We don't live and exist to send our kids to college. We don't live and exist to get a good job. We don't even live and exist to have an awesome family. Now, those are not bad things. Those are good things. But our life, God's plan is bigger than just that. When we surrender our lives and we allow Him to impact our life enough to where we'll live out His plans and we'll fulfill what He is being asked of us, you will experience God in a whole new way. Because it's scary and it's not easy. And it may require some trust that you've never had to rely upon God before. But it's all worth it. And number 4, we see God gets the glory. This is verses 26 through chapter 9, verse 6. And in these things, this is what happens. Because they've chose to follow Christ, because they got in the boat with Christ, they got over to the other side. And when they get over to the other side, Jesus drives out demons. He heals a woman from a 12-year illness. He restores a young girl back to life. He commissions the 12 disciples. And then the 12, they go. But they're not by themselves. They have God's power, right? And they heal and they proclaim God's word, and lives are changed. How cool is that? God didn't use these perfect Pharisees, which makes me laugh. It's kind of an oxymoron, right? He used broken people. He used flawed people. He used fishermen and tax collectors. He uses you and me. Let me tell you, folks, there's nothing special about me. I am flawed and I am sinful. And thankfully, in moments like now, God's Holy Spirit pours out and it is His words and not mine. The pressure is not on me, it's on Him. And I say that because We have to depend upon him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 is one of my favorites, and I pray it every time. It's Paul, and he's talking, and he says, "May it not be with wise or persuasive words of man, but may it be by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that they do not put their faith in me, but that their faith is resting in the power of the Lord." Now, that may not have been word for word, forgive me, but the point is this. God just, he's looking for obedient people. And the thing is, he doesn't even need you. His plans will come to fruition regardless. But we get to be a part of it. We get to be a servant of the one true King. And there is no greater position than to serve the one true King. We sit here and we limit our faith and we say, well, God can't do this, or you know, God doesn't, he doesn't do all this, or he doesn't understand. We make these excuses and we wallow right where we are instead of being faithful and obedient and doing what he has asked of us all along. And a lot of times it's out of fear, and I'm here to tell you those are straight lies from the devil himself. All things are possible with God. So what can we learn from this? Well, live your life with purpose and boldness for his glory. I lived my life with purpose. It wasn't for his glory. I laugh, kind of that awkward laugh, because I was guilty of putting myself ahead of Christ. And my boldness normally wasn't good. It was deceitful lying that I would do to further myself or to do things that I wanted to do. But what if we lived our life with purpose and boldness for his glory? Surely, we go through this life and we try to fix our own problems and do our own things. It's like taking one of those paper ninja stars that kids make in school and try to take it to a gunfight. You're not going to win. Life will overtake you. And what's funny is you've got a tank in the garage, and the Lord, on that dusty Bible that we never bring out, and this relationship that we could rely upon. See, when your motives and your plans when the Lord's plans now become your plans, watch out. All things are possible. I'm still taken back, and some of you will know exactly what I'm talking about. There's 7.5 billion people in this world. Anybody else just amazed that out of that many people, God knows you? Like, he doesn't not see you. He made you in his image. You're like, well, not me. God can never love me. I mean, does he even know what I did, you know, last week, last month? How could he ever forgive me of that? Warning, those thoughts and feelings are not from God. I will tell you right now, God loves you, and he wants nothing more than to have a relationship with you. How cool is that? 7.5 billion people in the world, and he has a plan for you. He knows you, he loves you, and he wants a relationship with you. This Jesus, he is amazing. So I'm going to ask, how is God calling you today? Some of you might be into pastoral ministry. I can tell you that when I was a sports talk broadcaster at 610 Radio in Kansas City, I did not think I would ever be a pastor. As I promoted bar specials, I did not think I'd be a Southern Baptist pastor. God uses broken people, and I'm so thankful for that. Because I'm a broken sinner, and I am in need of his love and his grace and his mercy. And maybe you are too. It's there for you. Don't ever think that God can't change you, because he has changed me. I have been transformed, not just by his word, but by his presence. I bet, this would be a cool thing, I'm not going to ask to do this, but I bet if I asked each person here to see if your life has been changed by God and to have you stand up, I bet we would just have these pews filled. But there's probably one or two or four of you out there, not three, I don't know why, that haven't made that choice yet. Or maybe you're hanging on the edge. Hey, that's fine. I did that for a long time, for a lot of years. Believe it or not, I got saved about 8 years ago. It's amazing what God can do when you just hand it over to him. So here in a moment, I'm going to pray, and we're going to say goodbye to our Facebook family, to our Facebook Live friends. And then I'm going to go ahead and share some personal information with you all that are here in the congregation, okay? Facebook Live family, thank you all for joining us. It has been a great privilege to be able to talk with you today. If you are someone who wants to change, who recognizes that, you know what, I haven't fully given myself over to Christ, I haven't fully committed, I'm not living in faith, please come see your pastor. These are good conversations to have, and I pray that today will be the starting point for many of you. Let us pray. Blessed Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for those who are watching and for those who are present. We know, Lord, that none of them are here by accident. Lord, we just pray that your holy word will go out, and that lives will forever be changed by this amazing good news. We love you, Lord. May we glorify you with all that we say and all that we do. And everyone said,